I don't even know what chapter this is. I didn't write it in there. Do a search on as it is written in the prophets. Thank you. So, Mark 1:1. We have a couple of baptisms scheduled today that we'll be doing in just a little while. And I felt to go into the Word and talk about baptism, but not with the typical scriptures that I normally have taught over the many years. In other words, it's easy to go through the book of Acts, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, you know, so on and so forth. And in the book of Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Of course, we know that's the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. That was some of the last writings or prophecies before what we have come to know as a period of silence for some length of time. And then we see in the book of Mark a reference back to that, because here we are going to see the fulfillment of it. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I was really embarrassed as I was sitting at a table with the Guzmans in Italy. And I was reflecting on the point that baptism, or John only baptized unto repentance, and I forget exactly what we were talking about, but I made a statement about John's baptism, and they brought up this verse. Because it says, because he was baptizing unto repentance, but remission of sins did not come only but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they brought up this verse, John did baptize in the wilderness, preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I believe this to be a foreshadowing of the New Testament, which was not in effect until the death of the testator. But let's talk about this. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latcheth of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. There would come somebody that wears shoes with shoestrings. That'd be a man who's mightier than him. and would come after him. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan in a river. Now, if baptism was sprinkling, you would not need a river. Just saying. Thank you. The word baptize means to immerse. Of course, we'll talk later that Romans says that we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, you can't get buried in a cup of water. But yet a watery grave is necessary in this process that we call salvation. And straightway, coming up out of the water, I'm just being a little facetious here. He got baptized in a river. He came up out of the water. He was a grown man. He saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descended. I don't know what that looked like. Now, if you were watching movies, you'd probably see a dove or something come down out of the. Okay. The Spirit descended upon him. Now, this is what's interesting. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son." Now, stop right there. Don't read ahead of me. The Spirit descended upon him. The Spirit. There isn't another Spirit. The Spirit of God descended upon him. A voice out of heaven spoke. That was God. The vessel of the Son was standing in the water to be baptized of John to fulfill all righteousness. We got, hold on here, tighten your. We got three manifestations of God all at the same time. And it doesn't say anything about a Holy Trinity. But God is manifesting himself in different ways. Now, back at verse 11. There came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, that's similar to a statement. Similar, but not the same. I may say, "Robert, I'm pleased with you." And we would view that as one individual to another individual saying, "I'm happy with the way things are going and how you are doing." And because of the way this scripture is written, we see this, or we can be challenged by this, that the Father saying he's doing all right with the Son. Until you read it, "in whom," in the sense to dwell, "I am well pleased." Because we jump to Colossians chapter 2 at verse 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you get a clearer picture and a clearer understanding that when God, that voice out of heaven said, in whom I am well pleased in the sense to dwell. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he. The everlasting Father, the King eternally. We need to sing that song. It's all in him. It's all in, come on with me. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. It's all in him. It's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. Let's give him some praise and some worship right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give acknowledgement right now. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. The work that you have begun in us, you are able to perform it unto the end. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you stand? Just give a little bit of praise and worship unto him right now. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Please be seated. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let's go to the book of Acts, the 19th. Chapter, because here we have a situation where we have a reference back to John's baptism. Acts 19 and 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I could see Paul just waiting for a minute and then looking them straight in the eye and saying, unto what were you baptized? You see, the world has tried to play down the significance of being baptized by immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ when it concerns salvation. But Paul's first question to them is, unto what were you baptized? They thought for a minute. Well, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Paul shakes his head. Herein is the problem. Now, let me go back. John's baptizing in Jordan. Later on, we read that he is baptizing in these two other cities that the Bible names. And there are those traveling with John who are involved in the work that he is in And they are baptizing unto repentance for the remission of sins. Teaching to be baptized. Okay? And one of these guys says, John, the Lord is also traveling and teaching and baptizing and drawing men unto him. Now we got an interesting scenario. What are they teaching? Are they teaching to be baptized unto repentance? I believe they are. Why? Because we've not entered the New Testament covenant yet. We haven't seen the death of the testator. And so John gives an answer to this young man saying, it's all right. You understand? He is mightier than I. He must increase. I must decrease. We are in a transition period here. I was the one only to come and to introduce that he would be coming. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Jesus, standing there that day, John turns and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. John says to Jesus, I need to be baptized of you. It's okay, John. We need to go through with this. You need to baptize me. This is to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is being baptized by immersion in water. How can it become any more significant? How could it get? Who could you call on to say, you know, is this really needful? Is this necessary? You know, we've all accepted the Lord as our Savior. What is all this about? And is this so needful and so necessary? Well, the Lamb of God walked down into Jordan and submitted himself to John the Baptist. Yeah, John. Praise God. I want you to understand the significance of what's happening here today. Amen. Where's Lance? Lance, you ought to be in the front row. I know. No, you can give him the tape. Oh, we don't have tapes anymore. Or sorted CDs. Give him the link. The power of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, applying the blood shed by the Son. You know why there had to be a Son of God. Because God doesn't have blood. There had to be a Son, a perpetual sacrifice, the embodiment. Have you ever been assaulted by the voice of the accuser? Are there any honest parties in the house tonight? You ever been assaulted up here by the voice of the accuser? Isn't it good to know and to be able to say, I was baptized in the only name under heaven given among men and applied the blood. to. All I've got to do right now is to confess my sin. And the Lord is just to forgive my sin. Take that. I'm dead serious. You got to know the power of that. You got to believe in the power of that. It was throughout Scripture. This is a covenant promise. And it's good to learn to know how to use it and when to use it. He's always going to try to get an edge up on you and position you, get you into a place that you'll receive his condemning word. He's accusing statements. We need never forget the power of the application of the blood that throws our sins as far as the east is from the west, into the bottom of the sea, away from God, never to be remembered again. Use that statement. Do we need to rehearse it right now? All because, in obedience to the word, you said, let's get this done to fulfill all righteousness. Take me down in the watery grave of baptism. Put that name upon my life.
Amen.
The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord. Could we just give him some appreciation right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's people who have committed suicide because they've never embraced the truth of this, and they've come under subjection to the accusing voice of the enemy against them. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood was applied to my life, my soul. It covers me. It covers me. The admonishment is not to sin, but if I sin, I've got an advocate.
Amen.
With the Father, and that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. We're about to do something today that has tremendous significance to eternity. Don't ever let anybody make light of your baptism, nor the significance of calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. All they had to do was hear that. I stand guilty of being in fellowship with a man, praying with him, fellowshipping him for 2 years before a day in his office, I would begin to share with him the scriptures concerning Jesus' name baptism. Another pastor. He looked at me across the desk. I was readying myself for a confrontation. I was readying myself for some kind of rebuttal. The man was schooled in the scriptures, and he had a tremendous spirit about him. And I truly love this person, this individual. But I knew that sooner or later this was going to come up, and here we were. And I was just kind of laying it out there. And I even had to back up a little bit because I was starting to feel some aggression in my spirit. I started to fight a fight that there was nobody on the other side of the fight. He looked at me across the desk and he said, "Larry, nobody's ever told me that before." Oh my God. I was smote with conviction. When they heard this, all I had to do was hear it. They hadn't heard anything else. They were just walking in what they knew. John baptized unto the baptism of repentance. And we just been going through life. And we don't know anything about the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He gives a little one sentence explanation. And the Bible says when they heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at this little reference and we say, look, right here, we got a handful of people, 12. They actually got rebaptized. I would tell you this. There were thousands that were baptized under John's ministry and under the ministry of the man Christ Jesus and those that were working with him. That were rebaptized under the new covenant. Otherwise, Paul would never have brought this up. Well, I've already been baptized. You know, back when I was a kid, they'd put a little oil on my... No. So how important is it? How significant to our daily walk and the redemptive power of the application of that blood to redeem me unto God. You're fixing to get put in right relationship according to his plan. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. I want to read this. It's a little lengthy, but I want to read this to you. Exodus 14 and 9. But the Egyptians, now this is preempting the crossing of the Red Sea. This is God delivering Israel out of Egypt, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. Which is tremendous and deep typology of God's delivering hand from our bondage of sin. But the Egyptians pursued after them. You understand, in typology, the Egyptians in these scriptures resembled the continuance of pursuit of their bondage. Your bondage does not want to let you go. Your bondage not just won't turn loose, but wants to pursue. See, we already have the entrance of the deliverer saying, come on, let me lead you, follow me, we're going to go. I've raised up a leader and he's going to show you the way. But at the same token, they got an enemy who has held them in bondage and enslaved them and pursuing them. All at the same time. There's a battle going on. You know, just making a little acknowledgement. All right, yes, I want to turn my heart to the Lord. And then, okay, I need to be baptized. Okay, I'll get baptized. You need to know this. This war is still being waged. And there are things in the balance. You can't take it lightly. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Look, they're battling already in their mind. They've been enslaved, and now they're, you know, the Lord's trying to bring deliverance, but this war is being waged, and in their mind they're talking to the very one that's trying to help them and saying, why are you doing this to me, and why is this happening? I tell you, I've gave Bible studies to people, and they've become responsive to the Word of God, got baptized, got the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. They lose their job. They lose their home. They lose their car. And they say, what's going on? I thought I was, everything would be blessing and rosy and, you know, all great from here on. They fall sick. There's problems that they're challenged with. And they don't realize that this is a ploy for that piece of them that's eternal, which is their soul. And they give attention to all these fleshly situations. The effort, once again, is to thwart you, to get you to step off the course. Things are getting tough. Things are getting rough. There's things going on. Remember this. Remember this. It doesn't last. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? I'm fine with these narcotics. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. That's what's fixing to happen in the waters of baptism. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed now and went behind them. He was leading, but now he's going to be protecting. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued, went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. I see Brother Tom's praying the prayer. God, cause confusion to come to those drug dealers. Cause confusion. Let things be opened and seen and revealed. It came to pass that in the morning watch, or verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen and the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. The entanglements, the enslavement, the bondage that wants to pursue you. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. For all these entrapments, all this enslavement that has pursued you and held you captive, you will see no more. That is the power. There's references oftentimes of baptism back to the crossing of the Red Sea, because in typology, this is exactly what God said, I'm going to do for you when you go down in a watery grave. If you believe, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. First Peter chapter 3. And I'm coming to a close. For Christ, chapter 18, or verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. This isn't some new addition. We're reaching back now all the way to the flood. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that those would realize that God was not looking for number, but that those eight souls would be saved. And the scripture says, by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know. They look at us and they say, you Pentecostals, you apostolics, you're all so emphatic about this baptism. Yeah. You don't know the half of it. I can't tell you the times I've wanted to stand out on Meridian with a sign. When I count the thousands and thousands of cars that pass down through this city that I have no contact with. Well, I haven't done it yet. But if I do, you just go ahead and drive past. Don't let nothing embarrass you. They say, oh, yeah, that's that guy. Oh, that's that's that guy. You just got to let him alone. I'm not just passionate about relaying a message. I'm passionate about believing the message and the power of its effects upon my life, your life, and those that you could bring it to who will just hear it and then respond. You know, sadly, I wish it would have gone a different way. My good friend, the pastor, had cancer, came down with cancer, and for the next year or two, it was very, very tough. You know, when my wife and I made that trip to Jordan, he gave us $600 to help us get there. Another pastor down the street. See, we felt the same way about each other. We had a confidence. And I knew I could only share what the Lord would let me and when and did. I was here praying one morning. It was early on a Sunday. And the Lord put it in my spirit, go down there and preach this message. If you say so, you're the boss. So I went and I knocked on the door at church time. How are you going to handle that? His son met me at the door and he said, my dad's in his office. Come with me. Took me to the door of his office. I stood there and I looked across to his desk and he said, did God send you here with a word? I said, I was wanting to know if he told you. He said, well, I'm asking you. I said, yes. All right then. That was the relationship. For over an hour and a half, as God gave me scripture after scripture after scripture through the Word of God, no notes, just the Lord bringing to me one after the other, after the other, after the other, under the, I think you were there, Sharon. I started to make a statement and he stopped me. And out of my respect to him, I stopped. He didn't make a big deal. He just said, you know what I believe? I said, okay. I backed up. I finished. I sat down. Now, here's what I find intriguing. Now, it was another 2 months he passed away. But here's what I find intriguing. I've heard his son minister a couple of times. He spends a lot of time talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could say it would have gone different. But God gives to us opportunities, and there are those. It doesn't matter their station in life. You understand? You have been given the pearl of great price. It has been delivered unto you a truth and a message concerning redemption. we need to know that we are doing our part as individuals with that. Amen. Sister Barbara, I remember when we baptized you. And I thought to myself, do you even know how fortunate you were to have moved into that apartment complex down the sidewalk from this man? And now the next generation is being affected and touched through this process. You know what's interesting is I remember Steve praying about where he should move to. All the time that you've had in the care group at the Cools and the sharing, the teaching, I still reflect on those pictures. I still got them on my phone. Our dear sister over there praying with you, laying hands on you, and Sister Walker. Getting the text on my phone. Barbara's receiving the Holy Ghost. And the Lord continues to reach and reach and reach and reach. One by one, you don't need a crusade. You just need a believer who'll talk about what they believe in. There it is. I'd like for those that are getting ready to get baptized, can somebody get Lance, wherever he's at? You've got him. I want you to bring him up here. I want to speak to all parties involved for just a minute. And if you will, please stick around. Sister Johnstone, I know, is going to minister in music here, and bless you. Please stick around. Be a part of this if you're able. Why don't you stand with me? Would you just take a minute and express some thanks to the Lord?
Place I'd rather be, there's no place I'd rather be, no place I'd